Okay, today we begin Shar HaRachamim of the Aruch HaTzaddik. Maybe we should, okay, in here today. Shar HaRachamim, the seventh Shar of the Aruch HaTzaddikim. So says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, HaRachamim, the Midah of Rachamim, of having Rachmanis and some having mercy, being sympathetic. Zos HaMidah Hi Meshubachas Ma'or. This is a very praiseworthy midah. Mi'achas mishlosh esrei amidos amiyuchas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the definition of a great midah? Certainly one midah that is described as a midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously a midah to emulate. Kedechziv, rachum v'chanun. Right, we said one of the exactly how to count what the 13 midos are is a major machlokes rishonim. Not so clear. Is it Hashem as two, and then right even at the very outset, it's a machlokes. But exactly how to break it down is machlokes rishonim. But everyone agrees rachum is one of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know the Gemara tells us in a couple of places that mahu afata, that Hashem has described to us. I think we discussed once already this summer that when we have descriptions of Hashem, the reason we have descriptions of Hashem is so that we can know what to emulate. That's why we have descriptions of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the kol ma sheyuchal adam lisnahig ba yesh lo l'shtadel b'zos amida. To the extent that a person is able to be knowing this way, to act with rachmanus, he should try his best to do so. U'kmo she'adam rotzo sheyirachmo olav b'shas tzarko, just like a person wants other people to have rachmanus on him when he needs it. We also have to have rachmanus on other people that need us. And that's part of v'yavta l'recha kamocha. Now it's interesting, the idea that we want people to have rachmanus on us. I would have thought, not particularly. When I'm in need, let's say I need money, I want people to give me money. I don't want them to have rachmanis on me. But the truth is, if I'm sick, I want people to make me feel better. I don't want people to have rachmanis on me. But he's telling us something that's profoundly true, and it's a very basic human need, that we want to feel like people are suffering with us. You know, whether you say misery loves company or whatever, you want to feel that someone feels your pain, and that actually makes you feel better, just that someone feels what you're going through, even if they're not able to help. It helps to know that someone else feels your pain, that someone else feels the struggles that you have. Sometimes when a kid gets sick, he just wants, you know, the parent might say, all right, stay home from school, I don't care, whatever, but if the kid's really, and most of the time kids not really not feeling well, so he's perfectly happy with that. But that's the gedder. That's how you could tell. If he's really not feeling well, he gets deeply insulted that where's the rachmanus? You know, that he really wants the rachmanus. If he's really feeling fine, he's just, you know, doesn't want to go to school, so then say, stay from school. All right, awesome. You know, and that's it. He doesn't feel bad that you didn't show him any rachmanus. But there is, when a person is in need, when a person is struggling with something, just the fact that there's rachmanus, you know, that's essentially what the mitzvah of Nichma Velim is about. You go and, what are you going to do? You're going to go and make it better? How in the world are you going to make it better? What are you going to say? A person lost a child tragically. So by definition, that's tragic. So what are you going to do? This is natural. This is something. I know what you're going. What are you going to say? There's nothing that you can say that will make it better. What makes it better is your presence and the fact that you're pained by what they're going through. There's a family in Lawrence that we know that lost a child, and they were sitting Shiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I think Rav Scheinberg, Zichron Levracha, came to be Menachem Avel, and Rav Scheinberg came and he sat and he cried and he left. And he didn't say a word the entire time. And they said that was the most meaningful Nichma Velim. Because he sat, they saw tears go down his face, that he was struggling also. That he was also hurt by their suffering. What, they want the old man to cry? They want to see him hurt? Yeah, you hurt also? I shouldn't be the only one hurting? No, it's not like that. You want the person to feel that they're being mishtatev in whatever it is that you're going through. That people have that basic need. And I say, even if they can't really help you, oftentimes, when a person has the proper sense of rachmanus, he discovers that he really can help. He discovers that there are things that he can do. It's just you don't even think about helping if you don't have the sense of rachmanus. You don't even think about what you could do to make it better. You know, it's a natural thing that when a person's has his own skin in the game, he could be very creative to come up with solutions for himself. But if it's not his own, you know, if it's not nogea him at all, it's somebody else's problem, then he's not nearly as creative as coming up with solutions. My father mentioned to me that lawyers tell him all the time that when they're dealing with clients who have challenges that they're trying to get through, whatever the challenges are that they have to figure out, so very often the clients will come up with a legal argument that's better than anything the lawyer ever would have thought of. Because it's not the lawyer's problem, really. It's the client's problem. And when it's your own problem, even without the training of law school, and maybe you're not as intelligent or as educated as the lawyer, but when it's your own problem, you think of things. So if we make other people's problems our own problem, so we often find that we are able to help a lot more than we thought we'd be able to help. Habori isparech chalak zos hamida la'avadav hatzadikim la'akirimba. Not only is this a midah that we should strive for, it's a shibboleth midah. Familiar with the term? Shibboleth midah? No. Shibboleth? No. It's an English term. It's based on a story in the Bible. There's a word in the Tanakh called shibboleth. So what's the story? You know the story?
Sorry,
is that the same word? Shibboleth. Yeah. So what happened with shibboleth? When we were fighting a Milchama and we needed to know who was on the other side, right? So the enemy couldn't pronounce Shiboles, right? So they made them say Shiboles in order to be able to, they said Siboles if they couldn't say it, right? They couldn't say it properly. So to know who's on your team, you say Shiboles. It was like a password. So it was like it was the way of telling, you know, who's for real. So that's, it became like an English expression, I guess not such a popular expression, shibboleth. A shibboleth is a way of being able to tell who's who, being able to tell, you know who's legitimate.
They don't say it properly, though.
What?
They don't say it properly.
Right, okay. But, so the rachmanus, that a person, that when a person is endowed with this midah of rachmanus, that's a shibboleth to be able to tell that he's genuinely a tzaddik. You have a person who is a Talmud Chacham, he seems to know how to learn very well, he's very bright, he has a big yeshiva, he has this, that, all these other things. He doesn't have this sense of rachmanus. That's not one of the tzaddikim. That's by definition not one of the tzaddikim. You know, you speak to people who've shared their problems with Gedolei Yisrael. You speak to people who've shared their problems with Rav Shechter. And all he does, very often he doesn't have anything to say. All he does is he cries. He just cries the whole time. And it's like, wait, why are you sadder than I am? You know, about my problem. And like, that's just, you know, that's the shibboleth. That's how you know who you're dealing with. So the tzaddikim have this, like Kirumba, Kasher Yadata Bi Yosef, Ki Nichmeru Rachmav. That Yosef had this sense of rachmanis. You know, he was trying to put his brothers through a series of exercises for whatever reason. You know, Ayin Barishonim Sham. What exactly the game plan was and why he had to put them, but he couldn't control himself. It's a fascinating element of the story. That what taka was the game plan? It sounds like he ended the game prematurely. Whatever game he was playing, he ended it prematurely because he just couldn't put them through this anymore. He saw the suffering that there, but there was a plan that it was going to go on further, that it was supposed to go on further, but he couldn't. So all of that, everything he had put them through, was he cut the cord. I mean, he stopped it before he let it happen. So it was all a waste, as it turns out, right? Meaning he was trying to achieve something and it never really got achieved. There's a lot in Rishonim about maybe he did achieve and that's why but Pash Pshan Psukim, not really. He didn't reveal himself because he had achieved whatever he was looking to achieve with this whole thing. He revealed his identity to his brothers because he just couldn't help it, because he had this sense of rachmanus. And maybe that whole thing was more for him to come to that sense of rachmanus for people who had done this to him than it was for them. V'roy l'maskil shetia midas rachmim v'chanina t'kua v'nimtzeis b'libo kol hayamim. It has to be something that's constantly in a person's heart, that it's part of our identity, that it's not just something that we do. Rachmanus is not something that we do. Rachmanus is something that we are. And I think that we've described also, we've pointed out, Rav Asher Weiss has the idea. I think other achronim are mechaving to it, or he was mechaving to what other achronim say, that the Gemara says mahu afata in two different contexts. In one context, the Gemara says mahu mevaker cholim, afata mevaker cholim, mahu malbish arumim, afata malbish arumim. And in another context, the Gemara says no. I think that's in the end of the first paragraph of Basra. And in Sechsota, the Gemara says mahu rachum, afata rachum. Mahu chanun, afata chanun. Now, what's the difference? Why do I need two different Gemaras? And they list two different lists of midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. So Rav Asher points out, and others point out, that in the Gemara of Basra, it says, mahu malbish arumin, afata, mahu nosin tzedakah. It doesn't say nosin tzedakah. But, you know, whatever examples it gives, they're all about actions. They're about doing things, bein adam l'chaveiro. Hashem does these things, you do these things. That's about what you do. But when the Gemara Sota talks about mahu rachum, afata rachum, mahu chanun, that's not about actions. That's not about what you do. That's about who you are, and that's ben adam la'atzmo. That's about your very identification. Lamashal, an ani comes to the door. So what's the reaction? It is a very natural reaction to get annoyed. This is the fifth guy already, and they were all coming in the same car, and I know it, or whatever, and I don't even know who these guys are, and why they're coming to me, and what are they, you know, they're just gonna, I'm trying to enjoy a Sunday night barbecue with my family, and it's the worst time, and it's very, a very normal reaction to get annoyed. A person might give them money. If you're giving them money, you are fulfilling the mahu of Bab Basra, the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. If a person, let's say, doesn't have any money to give them, Nebuchadnezzar, the person needs $600,000 for his child's surgery that for some reason Kupat Cholim doesn't cover in Israel. And you don't understand why, but it just doesn't. But I can't help him with the kind of money that he needs, and I'm going to give him a check for $18, and it's not going to mean all that much to him because he's still going to fall way, way short. So did I really do the doing? You know, maybe not, but if my heart goes out to him, and I feel sad for him instead of just like get out of my face. So then I fulfill the mahu rachum. Yeah, not always easy. Not always an easy thing to feel. And you'll see when you get to that point where there are people knocking on the door, and you know, and you don't know who these people are a lot of times. And sometimes you know, not everyone is in the greatest mental health. Sometimes as a result of what they're going through in life, it's not always easy. But a person has to feel that sense of rachmanus, become a rachman to the point where the second nature to feel that sense of rachmanus. V'yesh kama minei rachmanus v'hem rechokim zavizah. There are a lot of different kinds of rachmanus that are not really similar to each other. Rachmei ha'ava l'bein, zui rachmanus haba mitav ha'kol ha'chayim. K'derech ha'klav v'abeim osva ofasim rachman b'neihem. That a father has rachmanus on his child, okay, that's, you know, you could be an animal and have rachmanus on your child. That's not, there's no kunz to doing that. That's natural. In fact, it's entirely unnatural when a parent does not have rachmanus on their child. I mean, even when a parent has to punish their child, they have to do something to their child, even when a parent has to do something for the benefit of the child that's going to hurt the child, the child needs to get shots, he needs to whatever, you know, and the parent has to hold the kid down while the kid is screaming that he doesn't want that giant needle to go into his arm, or, you know, take that blood test or whatever. You know, the parent feels for the child at that. But what do you mean feels for the child? He's being ridiculous. He will, just 1 second, and it's not going to hurt that much. I mean, come on, man up, you know. You're 16 years old already. You know, stop this already. You know, but the parent feels for the child. But if you feel for the child the same way a behema feels for their offspring, that's not the kind of rachmanus you're supposed to have. An adon is merachim on his eved. A person is merachim on his friend, where there's a relationship, an ongoing relationship, and you're hoping for some reciprocity. That's fine, and you'll have a sense of rachmanus. But that's not the highest level of rachmanus. You know, like I'll feel bad for you, and I'll be with you through the tzara because I know that, you know, I could benefit from this relationship. You know, there are some people that seem like really nice people, but they're only friends with rich people. Like, they're only and they seem to be genuine friends to them, but they're only friends because they're rich or powerful. Because the way they evaluate friendship is, what can I get back from that person? And if that's the way you evaluate friendship, it is rachmanus, if you're actually merachim on them and what they might be going through. But come on, is that the rachmanus hamu'ula? Aval ha'tov ha'mu'ula shebemidas ha'rachmanus she'irachim ha'bono la'havio la'avodas ha'boris barach. Rachmanus on a child, the way an animal is merachim on a child, that's not the highest level of rachmanus. Rachmanus on your child in that I feel badly that he's not as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam as he could be, or as he should be, or as he will be if we play our cards right. That's the ultimate rachmanus. It's an interesting, Rav Nevensal has in one of his sichos, he tells a story, I think of one of the Rosh Yeshiva or Rebbeim from the Mir Yeshiva, that someone had a sick child, and they were taking, I forget which it was, Rav Nachum maybe, Rav Nachum was Rav Nevensal's father-in-law. Who is Rav Nevensal's father-in-law? I don't even know. So maybe it was Rav Nachum, had a sick child, and it was a time where there was some sort of plague in Yerushalayim or something, and he was bringing his child to the doctor, and he saw his Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm bringing my child to the doctor." He said, "Why are you bringing your child to the doctor?" He said, because the kid is sick. Okay, so why are you bringing the child to the doctor? Because I feel bad for him. He's sick. He needs to get better. He says, "Oh, so you're like an animal." He says, "Dude, what's your problem?" You know, like, and Ramzal was saying that he was trying to give this mussar that when you parent a child, yeah, you could just want to care for the kid because, you know, that's what you do. You care for a kid, and that's like an innate thing that you care for a kid. But that's not the highest level of rachmanus. The highest level of rachmanus is, I want them to be as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam as they could possibly be. So they, in order to do that, they need to be in good health. They need to be fed. They need to be clothed. They need to be educated. They need all of these things to achieve their life's mission. Their life's mission is to come as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam as possible, and that's the goal. And that's what I care about. That's why I'm putting all these kolchos into the child. La'avio la'avod sabori yisparach. K'dichsiv av levanim yodia el amitecha. V'yirachim al nishmaso yoser mimashim rachim al gufo. Have more rachmanas on his neshama than you do on his guf. Rav Shachter got in trouble a number of years ago. He spoke in Eish Kodesh, and he was saying that, no, we don't believe in unconditional love. You know, you don't always love the kid. So I was like, what? He says, you love the Ribbono Shel Olam more than you love the child. And if the child gets in the way of the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam outweighs the love of the child. Now, he wasn't saying it's practical eitzah that if a kid goes off the derech, the best thing to do is to tell the kid you don't love him anymore, because then you can be assured he will stay off the derech. But, you know, but he was saying the goal in continuing to show love to the child is to bring him closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And ultimately, what you're raising the child for and what you're gearing him for is service of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the best of his ability. Sometimes rachmanus looks like achzarius. It looks like you're being cruel. It looks like you're being mean. You know, the parent doesn't let the child have all the candy in the world all the time. You're so mean. Well, the parent doesn't let the kid go on the exact summer program that he wants to go to, where he, you know, it would be so much fun. He can get high every night, and he can, you know, whatever, he can fulfill every song he hears on the radio with every kind of girl, and you know, you're so mean. You're so mean. No, they're having rachmanus on him. Kizur achzarius hirachmanus. V'imyimna shevet musar mibno ki yichmu rachma v'lov la'koso menich lech b'shus libo ra hine zohar rachmanus tzaretz ma'abedes hazbein mechayel maba. And if you let the kid get away with whatever he wants, and you say, "Oh yeah, I don't care, do what you want," that's not rachmanus, that's achzarius. V'afa megadol yasam shnemar alav kol almanu v'yasam lo sa'anu mitzvah la'koso b'kdei li'asho l'derech yishara. Even a yasam, if you raise a yasam in your house and you become their foster parent or whatever, their adopted parent, and there are so many mitzvahs in the Torah not to be mean to a yasam, so you may never want to give a musar. He talks about hitting. We don't hit anymore. That's a different story. But you may want to give a musar. You can and you should, because that's rachmanus. Aval began sort of nihilus yosem rachmim yosem mishar kaladim. Achloy nichel lech b'shus libo. You need to talk a little more gently, a little more softly, because he may not feel like he belongs. He may not really feel like he's part of the family. And you have to make sure that he's a little more. Just like if you have one child who's more sensitive than another, you need to talk differently to that one child. Oh, why are you showing favoritism to that? I'm not. I'm talking to him the way he needs to be spoken to, and I'm talking to you the way you need to be spoken to. But so a yosem has to be spoken to much softer, but not to just let him do what he wants. There has to be rachmanus, and rachmanus means to lead him in the path of avodas Hashem. Okay, let's stop there.